You are now listening to part two of the April 30th, 2007 Jimmy Doan podcast.
A science fiction story, if you'll bear with us. It's about these people who are escaping the Holocaust, whatever it may be, and leaving it behind and escaping in the wooden ships.
That is something everybody everywhere is in the same language. I can see by your coat, my friend, from the other side. There's just one thing I got to know. Can you tell me, please? Won the war. Say, can I have some of your purple berries?
Yes, I've been eating them for 6 or 7 weeks now. Haven't got sick once.
Got to keep my school.
Yeah.
Yep.
We're back. Ed and I did a little Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young because I'm going to see Steven Stills this Friday and Jackie.
Oh.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. It's going to be kind of fun. I saw him out in L.A. one time. It was classic.
Yeah.
Some news chopper flew over like 50 feet off the deck sideways with the cameraman hanging off the skid.
And
he pulls up, you know, right over the band shells like pop, 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 pop. And then Steven just stops the whole band. He goes, "Man, that was cool as shit." And, like, all the bikers went nuts, you know. They're like, "Man, I hope they do it again." And the cover came back, did one more swipe, and then we were just all, I mean, it was so low. It was just.
Well, a lot of people would have stopped the thing and gone home for that kind of racket. Of course, it's outside.
Well,
too bad.
Of course, how are you supposed to do it in today's thing? Everybody would be all terroristic.
Right.
We were just, you know, praying that he'd come down, you know, nice and low, you know, buzz the crowd, you know. And it, I mean, if that chopper owner would have failed, you know, 200-300 people would have been dead immediately. You know, blended.
They would have been fertilizer. Okay.
Fertilizer.
The next item on the list here, Real ID creator, and like one of the chief Republican architects of the controversial federal Real ID law, said on Thursday that forthcoming nationalized identification cards are not an unfunded mandate and called for hearings to dispel the myths about the proposed system. And I say, if you mean by myth the truth,
if that myth.
That myth, yeah, then you're okay. But the Representative Tom Davis, Republican of Virginia, he said he asked Committee Chairman Henry Hairnose Waxman, D., California, to hold hearings and explore questions related to the requirements, which were approved by Congress as part of an emergency military spending budget a couple of years ago. Anyway, he says the states don't have to participate. You know, there's one of the things about the Real ID Act, I don't know if you know this, but the deal was
that, your ID card, eh?
That's exactly right. The idea was to have an ID card that would universally be readable and acceptable and recognizable and
trackable
and trackable
and traceable
in all 50 states, mm-hmm, plus the District of Columbia. And I guess Puerto Rico, more than likely, and so forth. Who knows where else? But the problem was that the states, as you probably know, their driver's license are all over the ballpark in terms, mm-hmm, of what they have on them. And
like, I want mine because it's pretty.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Picture on the left, picture on the right, picture upside down, picture of your dog.
Right.
And then, you know, and different kinds of ID numbers.
Bowser, your IDs came in. Can you drive me to the store, please?
Yeah, exactly. And so the point was that since there are so many 50 different variables, what they wanted to do was to have a universal type standard. And what they forgot to do, of course, was to give the states some money to change all their systems over. They wanted to make sure that they were non-counterfeitable. No way to counterfeit it, have holograms and all that kind of stuff, and then have some kind of information on there that, that was distinctly you. I guess a piece of your skin or something like that underneath the
finger.
Cut away of your hair or something.
Right.
I said a little cocaine in that hair. So the deal is.
So they should just hire either a really good teen or a mafia to do it.
Well, they could. Mm-hmm. And of course, Master Chard and people like that do it all the time. Mm-hmm. But the deal is that the states, of course, said, wait a minute. This is going to cost, California with, 17 million drivers or whatever it is.
Because they got to recall them all in?
Yeah, exactly. Start all over.
Mm-hmm.
They have billions and billions of dollars. And, of course, they want to have
billions and billions of lost revenue because everybody's got to take time out to go in there and do this stupid thing.
That kind of stuff. And, of course, even people that don't drive have to have one.
Right.
Because what I love about this guy is that Tom Davis said, well, there's no requirement in the law. There's no actual requirement in the law for the states to comply. They can not be part of this. Of course, they did acknowledge that you wouldn't be able to board an airplane or enter a federal building. Guess what? I mean, you don't have to be, but then you can stay home in your straitjacket is what you can do and watch TV, maybe.
Can't even get into a jail without one.
Yeah, federal jail.
Federal jail, right.
Right.
They can't even arrest you.
Well, it's crazy. I mean, look, everybody knows what funding is and what unfunded is, and he's going to try to change their opinion? I mean, he's going to try to redefine.
Well, this is what, let me tell you, this is what governments have devolved into. It's become a debating society across the board. It started, I guess, with the United Nations here locally. Every time you want to do anything, well, let's have some hearings first, and then let's have a new one. And not everybody got heard on this one. Tomorrow, for example, they are having a hearing on this big, a new project here up on I-75 and 39th Avenue called Spring Hills. Big deal. For years, the company came in here, wanted to put in a major retail and living area, big, like a town almost up there. Well, interestingly enough, I live like 5 or 10 miles away, and the locals right around here, my neighbors are all want to go out there and hold signs against it. I'm thinking, shut up. We got problems here. I can't even get out on my regular road. What are you doing going over there holding the sign for, number one? But you can bet, though, what they did is they changed the, let me tell you, this has been in the works for like a couple of years now. They have initially approved it. Then they came back, the people that wanted to build this thing out here called Spring Hills wanted to change some of the demographics. They said, well, it turns out that more people want to live out here, want to have some retail and so forth and so on, and they wanted to change it. Well, that everybody then said, well, wait a minute, we don't want anything this big out here because of the traffic problems, so yada, yada, yada. Well, the whiners and complainers and screamers, and we don't want to change the town, and I like the town just the way it is. Now that I'm here, you can roll up the sidewalks and so forth and so on. I mean, people that have been here for like 2 years don't want any changes, and I'm thinking, shut up. I've been here 45 years, and you're my problem. So, and now you're sitting there complaining and so forth and so on. So the point is that that these guys, all they want to do is talk. And so they've decided to have this hearing here locally. They're having it at the community college because so many people want to complain. And I know what's going to happen is they're going to be 90%. They're going to have probably 500 people out there. The whiners are going to be out there.
They always do.
And the business people are going to be shouted down.
They're going to be at business. At work.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And they're supposed to be.
But the whiners are going to be out there. The flower
unemployed
people.
Unemployed flower children.
Right, exactly. Exactly. The people that have nothing better to do. The retirees and so forth. And I don't want to change nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's so stupid. The point being that what this guy wants to do is to have some more talks.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about this real ID thing, and I want to dispel the mythology. We want to convince people that a real ID is really a good idea. I'm thinking, no, it ain't. It ain't. I mean, it's going to be Sieg Heil, your papers, please.
We went through that era, folks.
Yeah.
Folks.
We defeated them, folks.
Yeah, that's right. We beat them. So
it's gonna be your license
one
to
of the
be
big
free.
Deals, one of the big debates, it turns out, is over something called encryption. They want to, because in order to make the cards not
tamper-proof.
Tamper-proof. They want to encrypt the data on the cards. Well, it's a little hard to encrypt a barcode. But anyway, you can Xerox that off any day of the week. So they want to have a 3D.
I know people have it inked on their forearm.
Exactly.
You know.
But even if it's encrypted, it says here, it could be hacked by a brute force attack. The simple fact of the matter is that two-dimensional barcodes don't protect privacy. But what they want to do is, this lady, whoever it is, forget who it is, she wants, her suggestion is, let's have a huge educational campaign. So they want to convince everybody that this is a good deal. What
license to be free.
Oh. That's right, a license to be free. This is your license. Could I see your license, please, to be free? Oh, you don't have one. Sorry, you're not free.
You're not free anymore.
No. That's right. Watch your head as you get in the car. Homeland Security's Assistant Secretary for Policy Development, Richard Barth, continued to defend the program at Thursday's events. Said he had grown to become very passionate about the cause. A good ID, a driver's license, is virtually a weapon in the hands of a terrorist. So I don't know. I mean, if you sharpen the edge, maybe. I don't know. But Barth said he did not believe that the new cards would diminish privacy at all. He's in a dream world. Oh, there's a squirrel.
Wait, I have one clip for that.
So anyway, the this guy, I don't know who this guy is, the RFID chip, which is a radio frequency identification chip, has nothing to do with the proposed rule, nor, I believe, the final rule for a real ID. He said, real ID and the word chip do not appear in the same sentence in anything I intend to implement. Well, maybe not. How about two sentences later, number one?
Yeah, I mean,
it's on and on.
You're living in a world of make-believe with flowers and bells and leprechauns and magic frogs with funny little hats.
Exactly. It doesn't get any better than that. So
if it doesn't change anybody's privacy, then what good would it do?
Right.
You know, I mean, if it didn't invade the terrorist privacy.
I'm sorry, why do you want this again? I guess it's if you show that maybe you can't buy a gun with it now that you're on the terrorist list or something. I don't know.
Well, I guess what they're thinking is when the terrorists go to get their real ID, they'll get arrested.
Yeah.
And of course you're going to go right in.
But I think it's time for a new plan.
I think about the when you look at the Bourne Identity or any of those things, and they go to the safety deposit box and pull out 14 IDs from every country you can. You can get them, folks.
Got
to think about somebody that's worth millions. I'm sorry, you can get those.
If they only need 19 hijackers to get an ID, they're going to get them.
If it costs you, think about it. So it costs you $19 million to bring down the Twin Towers.
Right.
Cheap. Twice the price.
Right. Yeah. Right.
This is a smokescreen from hell, is what this is.
What I want to know is, are we going to have to update the encryption on our real IDs as often as we update our McAfee on our computer?
On our Windows, We have a terrorist alert. And what you do is every day you swipe your card someplace and get the latest.
You probably have to go down to the Bureau, Ministry of Information.
Yeah, you get a new. Yeah, the encryption is no good today. Right. You have to go back and everybody.
You could have cut your hair. You could have dyed your hair. We're wearing different color contacts.
That's right. New swiping time.
Yeah, you may have got a different tattoo.
You're wearing new clothes.
That's true.
You changed.
That's right.
You showered.
That's right. You showered. You had a what? A sex change operation. No, you're okay.
Yeah, you're right.
Roberta. Yes, that's right. You're okay. The whole point is, it is such a joke, this whole thing, and to think that I can't believe that these guys don't know that they're so either so petty. Or there is a conspiracy. I mean, I'm not a conspiracy guy.
I'm not saying that there's not a narrow conspiracy. That is to say, small groups of people, and I would bet that the Attorney General, the President, and the Homeland Security Chief are among the people who have decided that it's in the best interest of everybody to, lock things down, basically.
Except the terrorists.
Well.
And the rest of us.
What do you mean?
The rest of us that get locked down. I mean, this is something that I look at so often is who's going to be hurt by this? And at first glance, you think, well, what's the problem? I mean, if you're not doing anything wrong.
If you're not a terrorist, what do you care?
What are you worried about, man?
Yeah.
Jimmy?
Cat Stevens?
That's right. Cat Yusuf. Make up your mind. Is that your alias? Secret agent.
They call me Tater Salad.
I'm gonna digress to tell a quick story just for 2 seconds. Some of our friends in the pre-9/11 world went to the airport and had paged a bunch of fake names,
mm-hmm.
And they were like Arabic names, like
My balls are hairy.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. I just pee in your cup, and Michael League just farted, and got those guys paid.
And my other friend, you leak my dick.
Yeah, exactly.
Also known as you suck my dick.
But you do, yeah, that's right. But you try that these days.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Man. Oh, that's it. Boom, done. No, that's it. No, the gun comes out of the phone. You know, it's as you're holding the little phone, the little pager phone up to your head. There's you feel this go in your ear, the barrel of the gun go in your ear. Stop right there.
Got your balls itch.
That's right.
Will's got a million of those.
Well, so does Bart.
Yeah,
always calling up Mo.
Right, always calling up Mo. Right.
Oh my God.
All right, sorry, I dragged you off the track.
No, that's fine. No, we're
done. Amanda hug and kiss.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on, people, I need a man to hug and kiss. Why can't I get a man to hug and kiss? Maybe your standards are too high.
Oh, my.
All right, keep going.
Well, I've done with that, pretty much. The point is that the real ID thing, it's a joke from day one, and it's amazing that people actually, they're so small that they concentrate on the little... the minutia of the barcode when the whole thing ought to be thrown out. It's just that simple, as far as I'm concerned. Anyway, moving on. North Korea has been taunting the United States and Japan once again.
I fart in your general direction.
Exactly. President Bush and Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe, threatened North Korea on Friday with the possibility of new sanctions unless Pyongyang abides by its promise to shut down its nuclear program, while Bush invited senior lawmakers to the White House next week to discuss how to break the stalemate. We're hoping that North Korea continues to make the right choice. But if he should choose not to, we've got a strategy to make sure that the pressure we've initially applied is even greater. That's our plan.
that incredible pressure you've applied.
That's right. Well, I love this. The
swift wind blow
new
water.
Agreement in which North Korea agreed eventually to give up its nuclear weapons program for fuel aid and steps towards normalizing.
All we did was give them $1 billion.
That's right.
And they gave it right up.
Yeah. Of course, the Japanese are a little skeptical because Pyongyang, whoever that is, failure to implement its first major requirement, shutting down its main nuclear facility.
That's the consensus of Pyongyang, you know.
That's exactly. On February 13th, but the deadline is gone, long gone, owing to a deal over money. The problem is there's money involved, and they haven't got paid yet, so they're not shutting the damn thing down. Our patience is not unlimited, Bush said, though he did not set a timetable for North Korea to comply.
Mm.
We have a structure in place to continue to provide a strong message to the North Koreans. We have the capability of more sanctions. We have the capability of convincing other nations to send a clear message. Whew. Boy, I'll tell you, there's something.
Well, you know, it was amazing. I was watching the Science Channel on the nuclear jihad, and it was that guy, the Pakistani scientist who we actually, you know, North Korea and Iran and all these other people, how they got their stuff was because we set up this guy over there
in Pakistan. Right.
And then he sold out and then just started selling Libya, Iran, and it was this huge, monstrous network. And the United States knew about it, but we were embarrassed and couldn't figure out how to stop any of it. And it's like this guy just totally did the about face because he got powerful. And they, right after they exploded their first bomb in Pakistan, this guy was a national hero. You know, the first bomb for Islam. And all of a sudden, kaboom! Literally, this network just exploded overnight, and he's now retired. And part of the deal was the U.S. can't speak to him or anything. He's living in this really nice house in Pakistan and all this stuff. But he's quote unquote retired, but his network is still functioning perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, but it literally by far and large, none of this would have happened if we hadn't, of course, gotten our hands dirty in the whole process.
Well, that's a surprise because I remember we were the ones that gave Osama bin Laden his first money for his first step in the Afghani-Russian war.
But, yeah.
And we're the ones that gave all the weapons and stuff to Saddam Hussein when he was fighting Noriega, right? He was our bud, and you know,
has any of it worked out?
Not much.
The Bay of Pigs.
No. I don't know. We have a success rate of around zero. I would think that if you went to the bank with that and asked for some venture capital, they'd probably turn you down. we've tried all these things and everything. Right. We spent billions and billions of dollars, and we got nothing. What do you got to show for it?
There's lots more terrorism.
And we can shake our fist and taunt you.
And we can try to get more countries to send a clear message.
Clear messages.
Right.
I'll tell you, them clear messages.
They're very clear.
That's right. Very clear.
Like the vacuum of space clear.
That's right. Oh, my God.
Speaking of space, did you guys see Hawking's?
Yes,
little flight.
He floated for now. What is it? It's only like 20 seconds or something, right? He did the.
He did the parabolic deal. Yeah, he did 8 parabolas.
Right.
In the what was it? The zero G aircraft or whatever.
Right. Is it a jet? It's a prop plane, isn't it?
No, it's a big like 737 or something. Stitch, don't sit there and talk. I know it's some big airplane, but
you're right about this. You got the airplane part and the large part, right? Okay, that's good.
Well, I did have a quote from him.
The zero G part was wonderful, and the high G part was no problem.
Okay.
I could have gone on and on. Space, here I come.
Because he's going up with Branson.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
God, it's too bad. You know, he's down now to what, a lip movement or something, or
yeah, not a whole lot, but you know, he still enjoys it.
I guess as much as you can. It's right. Boy, trapped there. That's we've got to get his. Can we get some more sound bites of him? Do we have a thing where we can put Jimmy's voice through and have that come out that way or not?
Man, I wish. If any listeners out there know where to get a copy of his voice, because I've looked. And I can't find it. The nearest thing I think I can do is try to steal all the phonemes off of his CDs and compile your own.
Yeah, it wouldn't take you long.
No, but, I mean, again, the problem is the cool parts, the cool voices you'd have to get are when he was on The Simpsons. Then you can get some neat ones like Donut and, you know, Stupid and some other things like that. And then you'd have to go on, and he was on a Star Trek TNG episode.
Really?
Data was playing poker with Stephen Hawking's Einstein and Newton in the holodeck.
Oh my God!
And they were just battling back and forth, having their little digs on each other.
Oh my God!
So that was pretty good. Data's trying to learn from the best minds, of course.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
I love that when you talk about the digs. Of course, the Misty 3000 always comes to mind.
Oh God!
Whichever. Of course, you have that, right? You have it all.
Yeah.
You know. Do we have it? Is it on the website? Is it?
No. We'll have to put it up on there.
What is it? How long is it? About 4 minutes or 5 minutes?
Yeah, 4 or 5 minutes.
This is the one where at the end of the. For those of you who don't know Misty 3000, that's
Mystery Science Theater.
This is a total digression, by the way.
You think?
Like, I don't even have a mosquito track long enough to look at this digression.
But the end of the movie, of course, they sit there with who are they? Korg and who are the
guys? It's Crow and Servo and then it's whoever the host is, you know,
right.
Tom.
Right.
And then they're just bashing each other. You know, you're going to go home tonight and sleep with your silver platinum edition of, you know, fried green tomatoes. Ooh.
Well, the best part of it was when they
you and your director's autograph edition of Driving Miss Daisy. Yeah. The movie company called. They said that you're overdue for your, you know, piano recital. Blah, blah, blah.
Well, that is such a great.
Yeah.
But the little short things in life. The other one, of course, is the luxury skit. The four Yorkshiremen, right.
Which we posted.
Yeah. This is really good. Okay, moving on. I'm going to talk a little bit. I was hoping that Jack might show up here because he always loves to talk about Hugo.
Hugo. Chavez. Hugo. Chavez.
Yeah.
Well, the abyss is opening up more. Chavez, big oil. It says Chavez and Big Oil gear up for struggle, forcing Big Oil to give up control of Venezuela's most promising.
Now, they're going to struggle with words, and he's going to shoot at them.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I love this because they've taken over the oil fields and so forth from BP, PLC, ConocoPhillips, ExxonMobil, Chevron. A company from France, Norway, for God's sake.
God, poor Norway.
Yeah, exactly.
They just get beat up.
Yeah, that's right. Well, they're small. We can beat them.
Well, they probably don't have any guns allowed in Norway, right?
They always win that the ski and shoot contest, you know, where
they get one shot. Or no, yeah. Five shots. Five bolt action shots. Right. You know, Hugo's over there like, I'm sorry. What did you say? I can't hear you.
Exactly.
And they send over some cross-country skiers.
Yeah, yeah, to Venezuela.
Did you get him? No, hold on, let me reload. Did you get him that time?
No, I don't think so. So anyway, he says he's reclaiming his oil industry after years of private exploitation. He expected to be accompanied. Now, here's this. He's going to reclaim the oil fields. Is expected to be accompanied by troops and workers clad in revolutionary red amid flybys by the military's new Russian-made fighter jets.
Really?
That's how you take over an oil field.
Exactly. That's one way, man.
That's one way. I love this. And, of course, it says the culminating in a nationalist drive by Chavez has increasingly squeezed the industry profits. Yeah, duh. And they're now locked in contentious negotiations, which is a joke.
It says, and they're locked in a room is what they are.
Clank.
Yeah, locked in a cell.
That's right. Although the companies have been invited to stay as minority partners.
Come on in and we'll talk.
So anyway, the whole thing about this is it's so funny because they talk about Chevron's future in Venezuela, quote, will very much be dependent on how we're treated in the current negotiation, which I guess means you only get four fingers chopped off and not the whole hand. Yeah. I'm not sure.
Yeah, do you remember when Darth Vader negotiated with Lando Calrissian?
Yeah, exactly. That's right. Exactly.
You remember when Hitler negotiated with the Jews?
That's right.
Poland.
That's right, with Poland.
Czechoslovakia.
Czechoslovakia. We had negotiations. Because Irving, Texas-based Exxon Mobil's Rex Tillerson told Dow Jones Newswires and the Wall Street Journal that unless the negotiations produce a profitable proposal, everything else is moot because we won't be there. We're not staying. Yeah. Houston-based ConocoPhillips is the only company yet that has yet to agree in principle to state control, prompting Venezuela to warn it may expropriate its assets. Well, that's what the troops and the military MiG jets come by, I guess. They're saying, of course, that maybe, of course, the infrastructure, they already spent billions on the private people already spent $17 billion, it says here, in infrastructure. This is the wells and the pipelines and all the other stuff. And that's the stuff that he wants to take steal back or expropriate, whatever, because the thieves from the Yankee thieves have come down there and made money on
big exploiters.
That's right, big exploiters. And if they hoof it, Chavez says, well, I'll get some state government firms from China and India to come in here and run it. Well, you know, of course, the...
we're just going to conscript some people out of the prisons to run the super high tech refinery and.
That's right. Well, of course, those are the oil company executives we put in there. that's how they're going to be conscripted. If an agreement is reached, the companies may find it just the beginning of their headaches. PDVSA, which is the nationalist controlled oil business, has been plagued by accidents and milked for cash by Chavez's government. Well, duh. And I love this. I mean, the whole point on this is if you read this article, you don't have to read much between the lines to know that it's oil. According to this thing, they've discovered yet more oil in Venezuela, and it turns out the reserves may be even larger than Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
And yet, guess what? It's going to stay in the ground.
Well, what I think is funny is that I guess all the people who came out and said that we're going to run out next year or the year after, whenever it was, I guess they got...
Well, now what they're saying is don't burn any. I don't care if we have unlimited supplies. You're going to kill us with your carbon, global warming, whatever it is. So stop using this stuff, even though it's pulled out of the ground at $2 a barrel.
Well, that too.
that too? Okay.
Yeah. But I was just going to say, every decade or so, somebody predicts we're going to run out of oil.
Oh, they have no. Literally, I forget what the rule is. There's been two things. They started saying we're going to run out in the 1930s, as early as the 1930s. And I mean, Spindletop was discovered like in 1919 or something. And you know, 12 years later, they said we're going to run out. And Spindletop was the one in Texas, the big, huge thing that started the Texas oil thing. Then there was a guy in the 50s, and I forget his name. He's pretty famous. He had a, it's like a Moore's Law, only his law showed that the oil production would peak around 1975. Yeah, well, unfortunately, oops. Exactly right. And actually, people took him, he's a really famous guy. He's redone his peak. I think he moved it up to 2001.
I think he's doing some calculations tonight.
Yeah, I think so. Well, the things that people don't realize is that up until fairly recently, when an oil well ran dry, that's because they had pulled out about 40% of the oil.
Right, that was before they invented the steam. Everything else.
Yeah, they found that they pumped some steam down there to warm it up, it'd come back up again. I mean, the simple fact is that even the best recovery methods, I think, today leave probably 25% of the oil in the ground. And it's there. And I guarantee you, at $6 a gallon, which is what they're paying for gas over in Europe, if that was the price, if oil was $100 a barrel, believe me, they could get a lot of that out. I mean, it's the market. Hello, it's the market.
Send some people down there.
little tiny people, Mr. Luthor.
People, Mr. Luthor.
That's right. No, I don't think so. Okay, I'm done with that. I'm done with Hugo because we want that's a Hugo update, and we want to make sure that everybody understands that. Probably, I'm guessing. What did I give him before September that things would start to really? I was going to take odds bets on a couple of years. I'll take some heavy odds. I mean, even bets. I take even bets that the whole country is going to collapse within say 3 years. I'll take even money on that. I'll take odds on by the end of this year, say, as far as what it, I don't mean there'll be a revolution or anything like that, but that the economy will tank and that inflation will come back because you remember he wanted to lop off 3 zeros off the money.
Yeah.
Because everything was costing, they couldn't pronounce it. The problem is it was taking too long to say what something cost because it was so much money. So it's a lot easier, instead of saying 42,317,746,000. Now they knocked off a bunch of zeros and they can just say dos bolivars or whatever they
use. Two Hugos.
Two Hugos, exactly right. I would imagine that his picture is going to be on there pretty soon.
I just found that nuclear particular article and it's there. They're predicting, again, this is a prediction, but it could produce up to 100 times as much energy as conventional reactors. This new reactor generate 40% less waste. Just by this new.
This is using the old cell.
Using the old, spent fuel.
There's now that the people are so panicky they don't know what to do.
That they know to do with, and now these people are the Oak Ridge National Laboratory in Tennessee has basically.
And that's in Tennessee.
That's in Tennessee.
Well, not only that,
they do it in New York City.
Yeah, no kidding.
But I mean, my point is that those people have more credibility than the cold fusion guys out in Nevada.
No question about it.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, you might actually believe this is true.
Yes. And this was in Popular Science, which, of course, is always correct. But I love it. Isn't there anything nuclear energy can't do? Anyway, Global Nuclear Energy Partnership, GNEP, is the project.
Wouldn't that just frost some people if you could just find out, exactly. If you could just, no cold fusion, no nothing, but it turns out these keep reusing
the fuel and 100 times more efficient.
100 times more efficient. Wouldn't that just frost the people that are all bent out of shape about where's our power going to come
from? Actually, it's 100 times as much energy.
Well, I mean, and the next thing it produced pure water.
Right.
And that would just...
And flowers.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the thing is, we're running out of water. I saw this thing, a totally biased thing on PBS the other day about global warming.
Are you sure it was biased?
Oh, I mean, no, this is beyond... Even for PBS, this was beyond the pale.
What's his name, was going, oh, now, come on, that's low. With MASH guy?
Alan Alda?
Yeah.
Yeah. even Al Gore would look at that and say, "Woo, I didn't go that far. No, dude, I didn't say that." So I mean, that's how biased this thing was. Like,
when Jane Fonda and Sean Penn are on.
Yeah, when they're saying, "No, hey, we're walking away from this one.
We can't air this show."
No, we don't. We don't believe. We don't believe that.
We're protesting.
Yeah, that's right. We're going to protest that. But I think that if something like this came along and all of a sudden they've eliminate the coal plants. Of course, the coal people would be pissed off, but the coal miners, they would all live to die because they'd be out of work.
Right.
Anyway, this so starved to death rather than get black lung disease. The thing is that there would be a lot of people that complain about it no matter what. So we'd love to see that. Moving on, inspectors. This is an Iraq update. I love this.
100 people just died this month in Iraq.
Really?
Yep. U.S. soldiers.
U.S. soldiers, right.
Yeah.
Probably more than that.
Oh, there was way more people. God, I was reading, it's like 40 or 50 a day getting blowed up.
Well, but then there's the regular people, too, that just die of old age.
Oh, well, okay, Jimmy. I'm talking about from terrorist activity that military.
Okay. Whatever. You mean the collateral damage, too.
Collateral damage is that's okay.
Right. That's right. Inspectors find rebuild projects crumbling in Iraq. And I thought the first thing that came to mind was this is a Katrina deja vu all over again. This is exactly the same kind of thing. They threw billions to rebuild Iraq in a truck.
And they haven't thrown any in Katrina.
Well, they've thrown it. It just hadn't been caught.
Haven't been caught, right.
Yeah, exactly. It's still up in the air somewhere.
Well, I mean, who's got it?
Again, you can bet that some corrupt individual is going to catch a fair chunk of it. There's no question about that. In a troubling sign for the American Finance Rebuilding Program in Iraq, inspectors for a federal oversight agency have found that in a sampling of eight projects that the United States had declared successes, you know, mission over, whatever, seven were no longer operating as designed because of plumbing and electrical failures, lack of proper maintenance, and apparent looting and expensive equipment that lay idle. And I think this is typical, as you mentioned earlier, Counselor, the government. Boy, when you put them in charge of something,
what they're doing is they're trying one-time fixes here, which don't work. They're going to build a building and try to set it up with a bunch of people in there and give it away. Well, that's not going to work unless something is created through the market, that is, by people who are trying to create a sustainable system using the people who are going to be there working at it.
And going to use it.
Right, and going to use it.
Right.
Then it's going to crumble like a housing project. It's just going to...
Right, exactly right. Or like FEMA trailers or whatever.
Yeah, FEMA trailers, perfect example. Yeah. You know,
Can you buy those on eBay yet?
Boy, I'll tell you, I'll tell you why, because they're afraid they might make some money. And I don't mean make any money, they're afraid somebody might get something at below cost or free or whatever the hell it is.
There's a big complaint now by the trailer people who are saying they're going to flood the market.
Well, see, that was the reason that we talked about this before, why they destroyed all the World War II airplanes.
Right.
Because they were worried that they were going to turn them into commercial and Boeing and who was
going to go out of business.
We're going to go out of business, yeah.
Right.
Well, too bad. You know, they got their money. They built them in the first place, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, yeah, well, their argument was they sold them to the government at a discount.
Yeah. I don't think so.
I'm thinking they probably made out okay.
When they sold
200,000, 300,000 trailers in like a week. You know, like.
Let me tell you. Let me put it this way. Nobody starved. The people that made the trailers, the actual workers that made, they didn't starve to death. So when you say we sold it at a discount, it wasn't so much a discount that anybody lost any money. I mean,
well, I agree.
Money was made.
I got to figure, you know, just by the nature of the fact that they sold so many, such a short period of time.
Well, like you say,
now they're sitting out there rotting in fields, right?
Exactly. Oh, yeah.
Right.
All over the place.
I mean, they're like an eyesore, a blight on the community.
A blight? Yeah. Well, now, you talk about blighted community that ought to be eminent domain. That's probably one of the places.
D.C.
Well, they're renting the property. The property they're renting for $40,000 a week or a month.
Forget the trailers. They're renting the property.
It's a sustainable income. And they can't let that go because then they'll be start distorting the community.
Right. So rather than do anything, they just don't do anything. They're just going to let them rot.
Right.
And that way, more fertilizer, I guess. I don't know. Of course, then it'll be a super fun
time. I just want another big hurricane to come through and just destroy them all.
Well, that'd be cool.
Well, you don't might have not long to wait. You know, we're coming up here another month of hurricane season.
So they don't stop that fire in Georgia.
Yeah.
They leak on down.
I had something to say that really about the Katrina hurricane, the trailers.
Crumbling Iraq.
No, that was when you hit the digression button, my mind went into an automatic digression mode and then it got lost. So that's what happened.
Curtis, counselor was talking about, you'd have to have stake in the, can't just take a bunch of people and throw them in one place and make,
No, it was after that and before something else. I forget. Okay. It'll come back to me probably tonight. In
middle of the night.
I'll wake up and I'll call you. I'll probably have to send you over a small blurb.
Right,
you
know. Right.
Curiously, let's see. Apparently there wasn't much sabotage, but what they've been, you know, this is the typical thing, and I don't have to go into any great long story on this. The article's quite extensive, but it is a typical of what you see. They declared success. And then the whole thing is crumbling. And as you mentioned, counselor, that unless they have a market for the stuff, it isn't going to work. Now, one of the things that they bring up here and specifically has to do with the airport. And apparently nobody flies in or out of that airport. It's not being used. And so 3/4 of the money that they've invested to make this airport really nice. I mean, who wouldn't? I mean, you could damn sure have a nice airport for this kind of money. And it's the stuff's all rotting.
They came and looted the runways?
Yeah, well, they looted the electrical generators. Nothing's working. They have distilling machines for the water. They're not working, you know, on and on. I mean, boy, what a shock.
Success!
Yes,
success!
Success, that's right. Okay, moving on. This is a healthcare update. And this shows you, again, we've talked before about the Walter Reed thing, where the VA is a pretty good test platform for socialist medicine, and how poor it works. It doesn't work at all. Now, Maine has decided to get in on, and when I say Maine, I mean the state, the people in the state, the executives, the government. They have a universal-type health care thing, the first state in years to enact a law intended to provide universal health care. One of its goals was to cover an estimated 130,000 residents who had no insurance and wanted to cover them by 2009, starting with 31,000 of them by the end of 2005, the program's first year. Of course, it's not even close. It's only got about half the number that they wanted. 18,000 or so have signed up for the state's coverage. So 2 years behind, and only half the people have signed up. And I love this. The governor, Baldacci, his quote is, "I think when we first started in terms of making estimates, we really were kind of groping in the dark." And I'm thinking, what? You know, wait a minute. You've got this thing that is like millions and millions and millions of dollars. You want to do all these nice things, what's your plan? We're going to stumble around and grope in the dark and see if, I don't know, maybe we get something. Hey. I don't know. The people up there, I don't know what they're smoking up there, but it's just amazing. They talk in here about how a lot of the people that it was designed to help, they aren't covered. These small individuals, the mom and pop organizations, some of the people that were covered, the prices went up. They rejiggered the program in order to try and make it work. And when they rejiggered it to cover some people, some other people found out they couldn't qualify or had to drop off or got too expensive, on and on and on. And yet they are not going to start over. They're not going to quit. They're going to revamp the thing. And there are some people, of course, out of this article, which is two pages here, they interview some of the people that like it. Well, these are the people that are getting, for $100 a month, they're getting their complete diabetes, health care, home massage from who knows what. I mean, they're getting $10,000 worth of medical care every month for $100. Who wouldn't like it?
Home massage.
Well, what it doesn't say that, but I mean home care. No, the home massage is in later. That's right. Later. We're going to talk about that. Anyway, the point is that, once again, in this article, it seems to say by Pam Bullock, I think it's out of the Washington Post, what it seems to say is, well, a little jiggering here and there, or whatever it is, universal health care can be made to work. Now, this is Maine. Maine is a state that's about not too big, and there's not many people, and it's snow on the ground and cold people, and it's rural, and there's
cold people.
I mean,
it is so cold in
that's
here.
Right, and I mean, it's not much of, no offense, it's not much of a state. I mean, it's up there, Nova Scotia, like,
yeah,
or something.
I've been to Maine twice.
Well, you're ahead of me. Been there like never. Anyway, but I'm looking at the map though, and I'm figuring,
yeah, it's up there,
and I'm figuring it's, you know, as states go, it's not like, there's Kennebunkport.
Mm-hmm.
And
Kennebunkport.
That's right. But, I mean, it's not like Texas or right. Even like Florida. It's different.
Right.
And so if they can't get it right up there, I think you should probably just give it up.
Right.
Personally, that's the way I feel about it. Next on my list is Bush came down to Miami-Dade. You know where that is.
Yep.
Miami-Dade Junior College, I guess it was, and gave a graduation speech, and he wanted to talk about it, the immigration problem. And, of course, of all places you want to talk about is Miami-Dade, which is totally all immigrants just about. And basically he didn't say anything is what it boiled down. He said, we've got to talk about it, and we got to have some debating. And
spend some money on some research.
And he says, but I love, again, once again, the immigration thing, Bush, the whole people, they want to change it. They want to resolve the status who are already here without amnesty and without animosity. You know, that's Jesse Jackson talk. But the deal is that the point of his talk was to ask the 1,500 students down there, who are all from mostly South American, different countries, all over the place, to join in the debate. Thank you so much.
Join in the debate. We're going to pull an all-nighter.
We're going to pull an all-nighter. As he's often done when visiting Miami, Bush criticized Cuba. He said the opportunity to participate in an open debate does not exist. He also alluded to Fidel Castro's recent illness, saying, "The day is nearing when the light of liberty will shine." You know, let's hope he's dead. The reign of every tyrant comes to an end. Well, I thought that was kind of interesting that he would say something like that. That's the last sentence on that one. Moving along to the next item I had here that has to do with us is the United States doesn't come to any of the free trade items with clean hands. The title of this article is "In Apparel, That Is Clothing, All Tariffs Are Not Created Equal." Congress, this is surprise. I love the article. The headline is, or not the headline, but the first sentence. Congress, as it turns out, plays fashion favorites. Ooh, really? Take bathing suits. It slaps a 28% tax on men's imports, but just 12% on women's overalls. The government imposes a 14% tariff on women's, but 9% on men's. Woven wool shirts. Men's are hit with 18% duty, more than twice as much as women's. There is no apparent pattern to the tariffs. It goes amazing on here because...
Oh, there's a pattern. I know what it is.
It's random.
Yeah. There's your pattern.
And the pattern has to do with the constituency. It's what the pattern is.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, that is right. You could track the money, the contribution money probably, and see what to the various places, the textile industry and so forth.
Definitely.
You'll find out right away. Exactly. No, I love this.
The last form of legal sex discrimination in the United States approved year after year by lawmakers and passed on to consumers.
Yep. That's it. Sex discrimination.
They're taxing my overalls.
My whirling shirt.
Well, anyway, some people, when they're trying to sue the government to get them to change. And, of course, what these people are doing, the businesses want the tariffs, obviously, on their products reduced. But they have no qualms about the tariffs. They never sue on anybody else's behalf.
Oh, I know we do. We tax the terrorist clothes.
Yeah.
That way.
Anybody who buys terrorist clothes.
We can figure out that the people who aren't wearing the most clothes are probably terrorists because they'll be so high in price.
Yeah.
Rest all those women at the beach.
Yes. Hey, babe.
Here's another one that you could do along the same lines is you just require all the women to wear bathing suits, and that would eliminate all the women terrorists right there.
That's true.
You know?
I'm terrified by looking at some of them, I'll tell you that. No, that's on my MySpace page. Whew. A little scary. Anyway, the point is the existence of different tariffs for men and women imposed on similar clothing would most likely remain out of public view. Apparently, some Manhattan lawyer has spent 10 years researching this to come up with. And this is how ridiculous. This is how well it's hidden. All this stuff, and it is just amazing to me.
What's his name?
Michael T. Cohn.
Shout out to Michael T.
Yeah, that's right. Michael T.
Way to go, Mike.
But I
think if he had a daughter and she married a man named Mr. Head, and she hybridated her name, it would be
Conehead.
Yeah.
Okay, good. But I love this. Of course, the thing that's so funny about this is they want to equalize the tariffs. Now, let me ask you, here's the question. If the tariff on one item on men's bathing suits is 9% and on women's bathing suits is 18% and they want to equalize it,
where do you think it's going to go?
What do you think? What do you think? What do you think? Take a guess. Take a guess.
Is it going to go to both to zero?
No. Maybe split the difference?
Maybe? No.
No, I don't think so. I'm watching. I'm throwing my money in all goes to 18.
Well, they're just going to level the playing field.
Yes, level the playing field. Okay. Well, speaking of women... I did want this. We're getting here to the end here, and I want to, for you, if you guys have any particular light notes you brought in.
Yeah, unfortunately, I got enough to do the whole Engineer Eric show. But,
okay, well, let me. Did you, saw in my. We did, of course, he's up in Washington, D.C., where I grew up, in Chevy Chase, and that's. He's a special agent? Was a special agent before we outed him.
Well, he still is right this second.
Right
but by the time the show airs, he will
right.
no
that's,
longer be
that's right.
that special
or
agent.
He'd go say hi to Valerie. Claim. And of course, Valerie's kind of hot.
She's not bad.
Oh, well, speaking of hot people, did you see Jessica?
Jessica
Lynch testifying about the friendly fire thing with the Tillman thing?
No, is she hot?
Oh, man. You know, she was the one that was...
she was hit by a bullet.
You know, they made her a hero out of her. You know, said she was still firing her gun as a terror. You know, she was kidnapped or whatever.
Right.
They finally got her back. But boy, I'll tell you, somebody, they used her on the TV channel here, what a TV guide channel. They did a remake on her, and she is a total fox looking now.
Wow.
Oh, my God. They did anyway.
Extreme makeover.
Yes, exactly. Extreme makeover. So, to get
Grand
back...
Bet.
Apparently, this Ms. Julia... I love this, the article here. There's a madam arrested in Washington. Can you believe this? They have an escort service in Washington, D.C. And can you believe this further, that prominent people have taken advantage of this?
On taxpayer dollars?
Well, I don't know about this. I think the one guy...
What are they, men?
Yeah, hard to believe. Well, there's apparently one of Condoleezza...
Obviously, there's not a really quid... I mean, it's not an equal level playing field because we can't get our escort services.
Huh?
I mean, aren't they, like, kind of illegal? I mean,
no, the prostitution is illegal. Apparently, it's okay.
But anyway, why in the hell would you get an escort if you didn't have prostitution? That's stupid.
The emperor has no clothes.
Fine. All right. All right. So, yeah. I saw people resigning like crazy.
You're not supposed to say that.
Oh.
Shut up. Anyway.
But, why are these people like... then
$300 for an hour for an escort. You want to go to dinner and you want to look good for an hour.
Right. In D.C., out in public, and you're married.
Right.
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 Yeah, and you're a politician, and you're a high
and you're
profile.
And your Condoleezza Rice is first aid.
First aid, right. That's really... Is that a member of Mensa, are you?
Yes.
I'm going to think that. I'm going to go... I don't think they went out in public with these girls.
Well, he said he got massages.
I understand. I don't think he got massages.
No sex involved.
Yeah. I understand.
What is the meaning of
sex? Right.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
But I love this. From her California home, she mailed tips to the 132 women who worked across the Washington area for the firm Pamela Martin Associates. Her newsletters, now excerpted in court records, were a virtual how-to manual for avoiding all kinds of trouble in a business said to specialize in erotic fantasies. And I'll bet you that's going to be a bestseller.
Mm-hmm.
And what I love about this, this guy's named Ross, I said. Ross said Tobias told him... Randall Tobias was the Deputy Secretary of State.
Held two titles, actually.
Yeah, there are no sex. He said no sex. And he's recently used another service with Central American girls.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. For massages. Okay.
In Costa Rica?
because it's legal. Prostitution is illegal. It's legal down there.
Right.
But what I do love this, Palfrey, the girl, the madam, whatever it is, was arrested. They chased after her and... but I love this because May 4th, which is like this coming Friday, mm-hmm. and hopefully this podcast will be up by then, but that I would guess that 2020 on ABC is going to have the highest rated show you can possibly imagine, 9 o'clock Eastern time, or I think it's 9 or 10 o'clock, maybe it's 10 o'clock Eastern time on Friday night, I would guess, because they have the exclusive report that they've interviewed her, and she's got the 10,000 telephone numbers or whatever of the escort people that she's been doing for the
right.
Okay. Now, do you think that people are going to want to be watching that show or what?
She's not going to release anybody's name, man.
You don't think so?
No. They're going to put an injunction on her, which says she can't release any of the names.
Why would they? Come on, the counselor. No, I don't believe this. Freedom of the speech. What? Freedom of the press. Freedom of something. She has already turned over. Her book up to ABC.
Right.
So this is like the Pentagon Papers. What do you mean? What injunction?
Yeah, I'm just telling you.
Prior restraint. Can't do it. No.
Somebody's going to find a way.
They didn't do it with the Pentagon Papers.
They didn't do it with Heidi Fleiss.
Well.
Charlie Sheen, you know, he got McBusted on that.
Yeah, he sure did.
Yeah, he had to go on Letterman. He goes, Dave, no, you don't understand. You got it all wrong.
Yeah, that's why I love that.
Because it's not that I pay women to have sex with me. It's I actually pay them to leave when I'm done.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
So what's the...
So anyway, she sees herself as an entrepreneur being railroaded by an all-powerful government and join the club.
Mm-hmm.
And she started her Washington business while she was on probation from a previous... she'd been in jail for prostitution or madaming before. She has a bachelor's degree in criminal justice from Rollins College in Winter Park.
Yeah. Well, I mean, which amendment in the Constitution or in the United States prohibits prostitution?
Here's the deal. Which one prohibits sex?
Right.
And then which one prohibits paying for something?
Right.
Okay, none of them. So you just put them together, you're home free.
Okay.
Of course, a lot of people would say, what prohibits you a bullet and what prohibits a brain? But then when the two put together, it's probably not a good idea.
Well.
Okay. So anyway, she said her employees were independent agents. Good luck on that. But she, you know, she advertised in the yellow pages and on websites. Good luck on not drawing any attention. Her career path apparently was lucrative, but not spectacularly. So prosecutors said she made about $2 million over 13 years.
It's nothing.
Hello.
That's zero.
She, you could. I think the guys here on the street corners get more than that by saying, "Help me, I'm homeless."
Yeah. Or no, I love the one I sent you with the Klingon guy.
Yeah, the Klingon.
I won't kill you for food.
Anyway, she court, but I love this. They have seized, had a home valued at $48,000 in Escondido, California, and another house for $495,000, and the federal government has seized them. You know, because it's now. Let me ask you this:
if you want to help,
so is this a federal crime? Is this a? Is she under federal? She's under federal indictment, huh?
Man, it should be a state crime, but
well, except the district's not a state.
Well, right, and so
that's why. That's why.
Probably
the District of Columbia.
Don't do business in D.C.
Boy, if you and otherwise, because it's automatically a federal crime. Yeah. Palfrey alleged that a former escort identified as Paula Niebel and 15 Jane Does breached their contracts by engaging in illegal sex. So she's, but I, so she, so what's going to happen to her? Heidi went to prison for a little while, didn't she?
And so will she.
She will too, huh?
Yep. Bye bye.
To help these girls, please donate to the Jimmy Doan Show.
That's right. Exactly right.
We will make sure that the funds get appropriate.
Well, if enough donations come in, I'll defend them.
There you go.
That's right. And you are a trial person. Of course, you'd probably have to get barred, so to speak,
in D.C.
In D.C. Although, I don't know if they have one because it's not a state.
That's true. That's right. You have to be federally. And you are that, right?
No, but federal is not hard to get, but you have to go by district. I might have
Washington, D.C. is a district.
Yeah.
Right.
No, but that's like third. No, that's like third district or something up there.
Yeah, I'd probably have to go.
Yeah, because
you got to take a little test or something.
We're in fifth district or something down here. Okay. The last thing I've got: Democrat proposes lifting federal ban on net gambling. And I thought this was interesting that Barney Frank has decided that net gambling's going to be okay. Which, of course, the thing that I look at is that any government involving in gambling at all is a joke, is a ripoff. And it's the height, as I say, it gives hypocrisy a bad name.
Yeah.
And these people are just
Mafia dons blush.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, no question.
They would never allow themselves to sink that low to give those horrible odds.
No, they wouldn't.
They couldn't face themselves.
No, couldn't. Right. Could not shave anymore because you have to look in the mirror. No, couldn't do it. And these guys are, but here they have no shame.
No.
But anyway, apparently... I don't know exactly what the reason for this is.
Well, it's only because it's the highest income people who always play the lottery. Oh, wait a minute. No. That's the reverse. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Well, of course, that is my retirement plan.
I think it's a good one.
I invest a dollar a week in my retirement plan.
There you go.
And so if
it'll
I win,
pay
it's
up.
$15 million, I think, this week.
Wow.
But I'd love this. Of course, what I look at on this is that net gambling, one of the things, since it's virtually unenforceable.
Obviously, they got the king.
Well, they got those guys, but still, so what? I mean, it's even.
What shocks me is what the counselor was talking about is that even if they repeal this ban, those guys are just going to stay in jail.
Yeah, that'll.
That's unbelievable.
Well, if enough money to Jimmy Doan Show, we'll bust them out.
There you go. More reason to donate to the donation.
That's right. But I think that one of the things about this is that the net gambling is virtually unenforceable. I mean, it is one of the things.
Managed to shut it down from a user perspective. I mean, I had a few friends who were actually making their living doing that, and they were having a hard time these days. They get bumped off of sites, and as soon as they find out that he's an American,
really,
yeah,
I did not know that,
and they shut him down in terms of his ability to support his family. Actually,
no kidding.
Yep.
I did not know. Okay, well, then I don't know why this is happening. I don't know what happened to Barney. He's, I don't know, must have had a fight with his buddy, partner.
Well, hey, Barney's trying.
I guess, but you wouldn't expect it in a way, but I don't know. But I would say that apparently it's more enforceable than I thought it was. So, the whole thing of this is a joke anyway, the gambling. To think that these people do this stuff is really a joke. Okay, I'm done.
All right, well, let's take a break, and we'll come back with some light notes.
Thank you for listening to part two of the April 30th, 2007 Jimmy Dean Podcast.
Born a natural loser, I can't recall to swear. Raised on pool and poker and a dollar here and there. Blackjack hand, dealer man, you better pay off that last bet. Two-bit hand of 21, it's all I ever get.
Support the Jimmy Dome Show by making a donation.